Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. It is a journey, isn't it? Some days it feels like a very long journey, and other days it feels like it goes quickly. But whether the day is good or the day is difficult, we need the food of the living God. We need the Eucharist, and we need His Word. We need to feed, brothers and sisters. Pardon me for sounding rather secular in this, but please don't make a snack out of the food of God. The Eucharist, where He absolutely gave Himself everything, absolutely withheld nothing for our sake. When you receive the Eucharist, receive it with humility and with adoration. Don't take anything for granted. Be grateful that you have such accessibility, most of us, to the Eucharist. And if we don't have access to the Eucharist, we can make a spiritual communion by simply talking to the Lord, telling Him how much we love Him, telling how much we're hungry and thirsty for Him, how much we desire Him. And then in your own heart, just say, Lord, I want to receive You into my heart. Even if I can't receive You into my body right now, I want to receive You into my heart. You can do that right from where you are. And God, who is so lavish with His grace, will hear your prayer. So the Scripture and the Eucharist, feed on it as much as you can, brothers and sisters. Please, for we need all the wisdom and the strength and the perseverance and the courage that we can get in these times. So go to the source and really feed. Don't just make a snack out of it. Really feed. It is a feast, not just for now, but for all eternity. We look now at Acts chapter 13, verses 13 to 25. From Paphos, Paul and his companions set sail and arrived at Perga in Pamphylia. But John left them and returned to Jerusalem. They continued on from Perga and reached Antioch in Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they entered into the synagogue and took their seats. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent word to them, "My brothers, if one of you has a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." So Paul got up, motioned with his hand, and said, "Fellow children of Israel, and you others who are God-fearing, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our ancestors and exalted the people during their sojourn in the land of Egypt. With uplifted arm, He led them out, and for about 40 years, He put up with them in the desert." Do you know what He means by putting up with them? Because God would work miracle after miracle for them. We've read about it this year. And then they would accept the miracle, but then they'd start go back to mumbling and complaining. And aren't they just like we are? God does something very good for us, and we forget it. And we cling to the things that didn't go the way we wanted them to go. Brothers and sisters, when God does something good for you, however small or however great, stop right there. Thank Him. Before you go to bed that night, thank Him. When you rise the next morning, thank Him. Don't ever take the gifts of God lightly. Don't ever assume that they're owed to you. We're in God's debt, brothers and sisters, in God's debt forever. And when God, in His mercy, chooses to give us the beauty of some gift, please, please thank Him for it. Paul goes on to say, "The God of this people, Israel, chose our ancestors and exalted the people during their sojourn in the land of Egypt. With uplifted arm, He led them out, and for about 40 years He put up with them in the desert. When He had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, He gave them their land as an inheritance at the end of about 450 years. After these things, he provided judges up to Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man from the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. Then he removed him and raised up David as their king. Of him he testified, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." Wouldn't you love to be called that? A man or a woman after God's own heart? You could be, by the power of his Spirit, conforming your life to him, to his word, feeding on his word, feeding on the Eucharist day in and day out. That's how you could become obedient to God, loving God, a man after my own heart. He will carry out my every wish. Can God say that about you? He's saying it about young David here, but he could be saying it about you. Don't ever teeter on the edge. Don't stand in the middle. Don't compromise. Choose him. Choose him and his way. Choose him and his word. Choose him. Every day, choose him. From this man's descendants, God, according to his promise, has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. John heralded his coming by proclaiming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was completing his course, he would say, "What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. Behold, one is coming after me. I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet." That, you know, could be us. We're not the Savior, though sometimes people look at us that way. But Savior in this job search, or a Savior in healing me from some illness. And when something wonderful happens to us, we laud the person through whom it came. But sometimes we go a little beyond that and we start exalting them and making them more godlike. And what Scripture is saying here is to follow what John the Baptist, to follow what he said. Who do you suppose that I am? Now, he was the one who baptized the Christ. What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. Behold, one is coming after me. I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet. I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet, which was, again, the most menial chore that you could have. Psalm 89, "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord." Start doing that every day. Thank God for something in your life and watch what happens to your heart after a while. Every day, thank him for something. And then we look at the Gospel of John, Chapter 13, verses 16 to 20. When Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, he said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, no slave is greater than his master, nor any messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you understand this, blessed are you if you do it." In other words, you live out of your relationship with God. I'm not independent with God. I am his son or daughter. I am his servant, his handmaid. But I am beloved. I am so beloved that Christ calls me his own. He gives me his Father in heaven to be my Father. Think about who you are, and think about who the people are around you, even if you're irritated or annoyed at them. Think about who they are. If they're walking in a state of grace, there's a certain way we should honor them. "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." Think about that. Jesus is saying, if you receive me, then you receive my Father, and you receive the power of my Holy Spirit, and you receive all those sons and daughters of the human race who belong to me. Think about that. Whoever receives the one I send, this is the Father now saying this, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. They're one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, you and I really, honestly, not just figuratively, not just in terms of an image, you and I are part of the family of God. You and I, as sons and daughters of God, are precious in the eyes of God. Precious in the eyes of God. You and I, brothers and sisters, it's not pride or arrogance to acknowledge that you are a son of God or a daughter of God. That's the truth. How you live it out, that's where your arrogance can come in, or your pride. We should live it out in humility because we never earned this title, this honor. It was given to us by the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Never take it for granted, but how can I say this? But live in the reality of it. I am a daughter of God. What does that mean today for the way I think, what I say, what I do? What does that mean in terms of conversation? What does it mean in terms of recreation? What does it mean in the difficult moments of our days? How do I live as a son or a daughter of God? We really need to think about this. Brothers and sisters, the Lord gave us absolutely everything. He gave us everything. He does not withhold himself from us. We withhold ourselves from God by the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. But God's Holy Spirit, in a few weeks we're coming up to the great feast of Pentecost, God's Holy Spirit welcomed into our lives, there by baptism and confirmation, that Holy Spirit, if you give him permission, if you surrender, in a certain sense, your life to God, God's Spirit will inspire and strengthen and gift you, that you might be a sign of his presence, that you might, this is in a very restricted sense, but it's like you are a tabernacle of God if you're living in a state of grace. And this world needs the brightness of God's light, desperately needs it. So I really, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, think about who you are. Think about what God has done for you, what he has given to you, what he has made available to you. And start with one thing. I never much thought about this as a gift of God, whatever it might be, but ultimately it is. So I want to use this gift you've given me, Lord, for your honor and glory. I want to use whatever I have been blessed with to glorify your name. Let that begin to reshape your thinking, brothers and sisters, and ultimately reshape your life. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.